good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, the debate is tonight. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump will be stepping onto the debate stage starting at 8 o'clock. Our coverage here on Civic Media begins at 7:30, hosted by our news director, Terry Bell, and our colleague and friend, Todd Alba. You can catch it all across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app that starts tonight at 7:30 p.m. Should be an interesting evening. We will certainly recap it for you tomorrow. Excited to have our next guest join us. I'm fairly certain that when she is out on the campaign trail, she is not referring to something she saw in a Facebook post that was posted by her neighbor's friend's daughter's cousin. I think she relies more on factual information. Kristen Alfheim is here. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Civic Media family. How are you?
We are doing great. Right. Very excited to have you with us. Kristen Alfheim is running in Senate District 18. It includes the bulk of Appleton, Menasha, Nina, and Oshkosh. It did change quite a bit after the redistricting. So, Kristen, how are you feeling when you're out on the campaign trail and knocking on doors? What are you hearing from folks?
Listen, there's definitely a positive air out there on the streets of the Fox Valley. You know, no question the top of the ticket change has made an impressive change. I'm still working in what they call the persuasion universe. So I'm not talking to strong Dems. We're talking to infrequent voters and moderates. And I will absolutely tell you that there is about a 3-to-1 blue advantage in that range right now, without question. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people that are just fed up with the entire negativity and the air of the nastiness yep. that has gone on for how many years, and they just want to move forward again.
It's the incivility. Mm. It's the nasty rhetoric. It's the insults. It's the punching yeah. down that I think yeah. a vast majority of people are like, it doesn't have to be this way. Why are we this way?
Right. You know, and I try real hard, and I'll walk up to a door, even if I see that there's a Trump sign. Not all of them. Some of them are so bold, you just know it's not a great choice. But if I walk up to a door and there's a single sign there, I'll still walk up and I'll have a conversation. And I think what people are appreciative of, again, this is the rational individual. The idea of someone who may be on the other side just saying, tell me how you feel. I'm going to listen no matter what, because how you feel is valid. And I think that's what I want to really get across in this election. We must start speaking again, because our emotions, how we're feeling, is real. We can't just blow everything off, and we have to get back to having these conversations as civil adults. Then we can start to move forward in terms of who is actually trying to make it better for you. What could we do that would make it feel better? We have to start listening to one another before we can start actually talking about who's truly interested in moving it forward and making it better for you at your kitchen table. And there's a clear difference in what's going on. But if we're all yelling at each other and assuming we're all evil and on the wrong side of things, we can't get there. So I am just, you know, doing my best to be a rational individual and to be respectful and polite in listening and allowing people to be who they are and work through it together. And it's amazing on the end of that conversation how we find a lot of things in common yep. and we create relationships and positive energy to say, okay, well, you're not so bad. Nope, I'm not. Maybe if we actually dealt with each other on an individual basis, we could get back to that as opposed to the tags of you're this, so therefore I think this of you. It's not right. We need to stop.
I think you hit the nail on the head for me, and a question I was about to ask you, which was, you know, knocking on the doors, you're sure to meet people who you disagree or they disagree with what you stand for, your policies and whatnot. But that knocking on the door, that acknowledging them as a person, a voter, someone in that district and showing concern for them, that means the world to some people. They might have the sign of the candidate they love and it might not be you, but the fact that you showed up, that can make all the difference in just perception alone. And I think that's something we hear from a lot of candidates we've been talking to this election season and in past, where they're just knocking on the doors and talking to people because that's what you got to do. I think that's one of the most important things in campaigning, that we were talking about it earlier, the fact that there's so much energy on the campaign trail with individuals like yourself and other candidates in Wisconsin, knocking on those doors, having good talks with people. And I think that does make the difference and can change some minds too.
Yeah. You know, I start every conversation at the door. And again, I don't know who it's going to be when I get there. I start every door with, here's who I am. This is what I'm running for. And I'm here to listen. We should be more listening than talking right now. People just need to be here, need to be heard, because there are pains that are going on. We can't ignore it. But if we can just let it out and then start moving toward it, I don't care whether it's the cost of groceries, if it's childcare, if it's wages, it doesn't matter the conversation. It hurts at home. So we have to be able to get that out so then we can move forward. So listening, getting back to the basics of how do we solve problems, it starts with listening and gathering all of the information. And I think if we as candidates do a better job of that, then people will realize we're not on opposite teams. We are actually on the same team. We are trying to make it better for people who live in our district.
And I think too, Kristen, I think with the redistricting and with the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz to the U.S. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, and she won so overwhelmingly, to me, this was evidence that most Wisconsinites are fed up with the gridlock and nothing getting done. They're just tired of it. And in order to get things done, you have to compromise, and compromising means neither side gets all the goodies that they want.
Absolutely. And I've said that all along. Neither side can always be right, and neither side is always wrong. We have to find a way to get the information out there. In Madison, everybody has been irritated in the last decade. The Republicans are mad because the governor has vetoed everything. The Democrats are mad because they've been locked in a cage and not even allowed to bring any ideas to the table. Everyone is mad. That's what gerrymandering causes. That's what caused it. So the fact that we have maps now, thankfully with Justice Protasiewicz in, now that we have the maps, now the expectation of working together must take place because accountability matters. If we show up in Madison and don't do anything, they're going to replace us. That's the reality, and that is the expectation. So we're going to have people on both sides that are going to continue to ask for the moon, on the right and on the left. And then there's going to be the batch in the center that says, okay, 10 steps is not going to work, but I think 3.5 to 4 is actually good for people and our fiscal bottom line. Let's work through that together. That is very much who I am, and I know that will be my job coming down there. Connect the dots in what's going to make us feel better and what is actually good for us in the economy and the grand scheme of things in government.
Kristen Alfheim is our guest. If you're just joining us, she is running in the 18th Senate District in Wisconsin, which includes the bulk of Appleton, Menasha, Nina, and Oshkosh. Kristen, for people who are not familiar with you, tell us just a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so my background, I grew up on a small farm in Wisconsin, which if you know anything about growing up on a farm, it's different. You learn how to, you know, you have the run of 300 acres to get yourself in trouble. Therefore, you need to figure out how to get yourself back out of trouble. It's the basics of problem solving. Give you independence just so you can mess it up and try and figure out your way through it. But you learn how to play, you learn how to be courageous, and you learn how to work. Those are the basics of learning on a farm. I then, in my career, I've been dealing with taxes and money and helping advisors learn how to be in the financial services industry. And that at its core is about communication. It's about finding and establishing what the issues are, what it feels like, the facts and the feelings around it, and then trying to find a solution that actually moves forward and fixes it with people from differing backgrounds. That is everything that I am. In that industry, I ended up voluntarily being in advocacy in Madison and Washington, D.C. for well over a decade. Some of the issues were Republican-ish, taxes, retirement type stuff. Some of it was curing Alzheimer's, which tends to be a very blue issue. And I found that none of them are blue or red. They're purple. Don't we all want a rational tax code? Don't we all want the opportunity of financial success in retirement? And don't we all want to cure Alzheimer's? So I found success in working with each group with their alternate side to communicate better, to help both sides realize that working together would make it better for people. And that has been my strength. I ended up, after COVID kind of shut down our advocacy efforts, I ended up working, joining the city council here in Appleton. And it's amazing. As much as people think they understand about how government works, they're wrong.
They don't get it. Yeah.
Absolutely not. I can tell you, I'm a fairly smart person that was paying attention. I knew nothing. Those 3 years on city council, working with economic development, working with safety and licensing, working with all of the aspects of how government works to help our communities be stronger versions of themselves. That is a tremendous amount of knowledge that helps give me more of the building blocks necessary as we move forward into larger and larger conversations about how do we help people staying within the realm of what we have in terms of resources. Those are not easy solutions, but we must work together through them to be conscious of our expenses and be sure that we are creating the best environment we can to live, to play, to work, to build a business. All of those things have to take place. And it is like balancing needles on their end to make it work. That is experience that is necessary as we move to the next level and start talking about things on the state level and beyond.
Well, and I think it's that kind of experience that you had, Kristen, on a local level is so critical, as you said, just to understand the inner workings of how these things go. And that continues with my bafflement why someone like Eric Hovde can come in who has no experience in government. Okay, he's had a successful business. Good for you. That's not government. And I, to come and say, well, I'm qualified to be a U.S. senator, yeah, not even a state senator, because I'm rich.
Yep.
That's my qualification. I don't think so.
Yeah.
The easiest part of politics is pointing out what hurts.
Yeah.
That's the easiest thing to do is saying, hey, it's more expensive. Yes, it is. Now what? And there's a lot of candidates that have nothing after that. All they know how to do is to poke the wound as opposed to getting at what's causing it and how to solve it from happening again.
We're going to continue our conversation with Kristen Alfheim. She is running in the 18th U.S. Senate District. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah! Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our next guest with us. Kristen Alfheim is running in Wisconsin's 18th Senate District. And I was looking a little bit at your opponent, Kristen, who is Republican Anthony Phillips. And according to what I have, he supports abortion pans. He supports Scott Walker's Act 10. And he is vowed to keep the 18th district in the hands of a conservative. One of the things that makes me especially crazy is all of the blatant falsehoods that some of our politicians repeat ad nauseum. And the one that is the current thing making me crazy, is abortion up until the 9th month and after birth. And when you're knocking on doors, are you hearing a lot of that garbage being repeated back to you?
No. I would say, I mean, and I do 200 plus doors a week.
Wow.
Plus meetings with people, plus, I mean, it's never ending. And I will say that I have not been in a conversation like that in weeks.
Good.
I do not hear that often at the doors where I'm at right now. I do have conversations. I do have people that feel strongly about it. I do have people that will acknowledge they don't like it, but they also understand that someone should not be in a position of having to carry a pregnancy beyond. So I am hearing, if more so than that, I'm hearing more people that are actually, you know, at a base pro-life, but there's acceptance of the fact that it isn't a, there are gray areas in the conversation. So no, I'm not hearing a lot. The only place I hear stuff like that is on Facebook, where you have, you know, again, candidates or ex-candidates or just people out there throwing nonsense. And it just drives me crazy. And it's on the radio, too. I mean, it is unbelievable that you can get away with saying anything you want to. That's so far from the truth, and then blast that. I was listening to you. I do listen to both sides on things. I think it's important to know what's being said in different opinions. And I was coming back from Oshkosh door knocking the other day, and there was a strongly right-sided conversation out of another Oshkosh station. And a woman had sent a letter in saying, what's this Project 2025 that the libs are talking about? And the host explained that all it was a list of potential candidates that Trump could use to appoint in his cabinet because he struggled in the past. And he repeated that statement three times.
So he lied three times.
That is such a blatant lie. And that was broadcast on one of the largest news stations in Oshkosh. And I'm sure it was a national broadcast. There should be laws. There should be laws. There used to be laws.
Yes.
The bottom line is they are going into the mindset, if you repeat a lie enough times, it'll come back and become reality. That needs to stop. It just needs to stop.
And
we have to hold. We have to hope and pray that rational people start to come back to the reality of common sense, put all the information together and make a good decision. And we can't make that happen for everyone, but we have to hope. And I do believe that there is a section of the people that acknowledges that they went down the wrong path. They picked the wrong pony and they are now starting to back out. It is always difficult to acknowledge we've made a mistake. Sometimes it's easier to stay on the wrong path than to acknowledge we may have picked the wrong one. And I think there's a lot of people that, again, they're coming to their senses and they're saying, enough, come on, enough. Let's move forward.
And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Kristen, and we did get your text and referred to Project 2025. And we've done a number of shows about Project 2025 and the far-reaching, far more than just staffing a second Trump administration. This is literally reworking democracy to the point where it will be unrecognizable.
It won't be democracy anymore.
No, it won't. And in my opinion, Project 2025 is the blueprint for any next Republican administration. It doesn't matter if it's Trump. It doesn't.
You know, it's crazy to me. Again, you'll flip through Twitter or whatever you want to call it. And there's just all these comments about anybody that comes from the far right and is saying that the Democrats are trying to ruin things. How are we ruining them? Because we want children to be educated, because we want to feed children, because we think housing should be affordable, because we think every individual should have a vote. How is that a negative? I just don't understand the complete differences in who we are as people and organization. There is a philosophical challenge that is going on right now in our society. Philosophical. And we have to truly understand where we are in history. And in my opinion, and these maps come back to the circle, in Wisconsin, in my opinion, we must act more globally.
Yes.
As an organization. Yes. We have worked so hard to finally get maps that represent who we are as a state. That is not the end of the mission. Now we have to help each other. If there are 5 Senate seats this year up that can be flipped for the first time in over a decade, it does not matter where you live. You should find them wherever you live, because wherever the districts can be flipped, it affects where you live in your kitchen table and the policies that are going to go into play over the next 4 years. So adopt a district. If you're in a solid blue district, go find one that now is purple and has the opportunity to be blue. Adopt that district as your own and help it become blue so we can get back to taking care of the people in the state. We must look beyond our own back doors right now and take action to solve the problem in Wisconsin, which has been lack of representation of all people. There are major issues on our ballot: women, children, healthcare. You name it, we have got to work together across the state as the Democratic rational party to help all of these seats get turned so that we are once again a proper functioning representative government in Madison, doing what's best for the people in the state.
And as you said yourself, Kristen, and if I get elected and I don't do my job, they can vote me out. That's how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to be so protected in that seat that no matter what you set on fire, we cannot replace you. So, yeah, this is
how action is expected. Action is expected. You can't just talk talking points. You must have action to back it up. We as a state need to realize the strategy. And I think the Republicans are usually known for their strategy. It is our turn. The Democrats must work together across the state. We finally have the maps. Now let's fill the seats and get back to government works in the middle. It always has. One side gets too carried away. The other side votes them out and moves it back. The pendulums are what kill us. This is where action happens. So let's ensure that we have the action that we need by getting all of these Democrats across the state in the Assembly and the Senate in Madison so we can start fixing these issues and moving forward.
Kristen, what's your website?
It is alfheimforwisconsin.org. And yes, you have to spell that out. I apologize.
That's all right. We will get that in our show notes. Kristen Alfheim running for the Senate District in the 18th Senate District. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Have fun out on the road. Have fun knocking on those doors. And we will talk to you soon. Stay with us. News is coming up next when we return. This really creeped me out. That's all on the way. Stay close on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. A couple of texts that we just didn't have a chance to get around to, referring to some things we were talking a little bit about earlier. Childcare in particular. J.D. Vance just thinks that grandpa and grandma and aunts and pretty much just women should be willing to watch your kids.
I like this J.D. Vance the more I hear from him.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
I pointed out that my childcare, my daycare center would involve duct tape and a wall. And I did have someone who responded. Joshua from Wausau said, "Hey, Jane, my mom was the same, duct tape and a tree." Threatened us with that all the time. Thank you for that, Josh. Why, I love your mother.
Also, just really quick, Sherry and Horicon. Hi.
Hi. Mike in Green Bay listening on WGBW. Jane, Greg, and Board Lord, J.D. Vance's daycare solution is laughable. When my kids were little, their aunties, my sisters, were a few years older than me, working full time in their early 30s. Well, they're missing their calling. I'm sorry about your sisters. They will live an unfulfilled life. Unless they, you know.
This is why America crumbles, Jane.
Yes, yes.
Women just not doing their God-given duty of taking care of kids, whether it's theirs or someone else's. It's shameful. It's sad. It's upsetting.
It's just sad.
Where are we going?
And then we were talking about a Republican sheriff reaching out to some clerks in Wisconsin, telling them not to use drop boxes because you don't want to give the perception of fraud, even though there is no evidence that that happens. Scott from Shorewood says, "I perceive that sheriff to be a doofus." He feels it in his bones, Greg.
He
knows this inherently.
Exactly.
He just knows it inherently.
Intuitively, inherently. He's a doofus.
I feel it.
He's a doofus.
Thank you for reaching out. And again, for all your texts and calls and everything. We really appreciate it. Yeah. I wanted to share this quickly. I cannot be the only person that this has happened to. And it creeped me out, quite frankly.
Yeah, it should.
Last night, after Paul and I had dinner, and I'm looking around on the web, And we got a recall for our little Fiat 500, mm-hmm. which my husband calls the bubble.
Yeah, it's adorable.
So we get the recall for the bubble, and I make the appointment for the bubble to bring it in, and that's all good. And so I go to the Fiat website. The bubble is 12. It's for 2012. It's got like 105,000 miles on it. It's got lots of miles.
That's it? That's adorable.
You think?
Mine's a 2010. I have 240,000.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We got a ways to go.
Yeah, you do. Yeah?
I drive a 2009 that is over 270,000.
Well, you put me to shame.
Get on it, Jane.
Well, now, obviously, we're going to keep the bubble.
You got to go drive around with your car to people's houses, to knock on the doors to get kids to take care of them, because that's your job.
That's my role in life. So anyway, I started looking at Fiats. Just for fun.
Kicks.
Just for kicks and grins. It's like, build your own. Okay, I'm going to get the top of the line everything.
Mine's going to have man arms.
And yes, and it will have. It can shoot things and whatever. So I put together my perfect little Fiat, and then I go away and forget about it. 20 minutes later, my cell phone rings, and it's a 262 number, and I had been waiting for a call from someone in Brookfield, so I answered it. Hi, this is Alex. Hello?
Hey, Alex.
How are you? Good, good. How are you? Good. I just saw you were looking at some Fiats on our website, and I was wondering if I could answer any questions for you. And I said, Alex, I'm just looking kind of for grins, you know, giggles, like I have lots of money. And I'm not really interested right now, but thank you so much. Have a lovely day. That creeped me out.
You're going to get another call.
How did he know I was on his website looking at cars?
Do you really want me to tell you?
No.
Okay.
It was creepy.
Will you take your car to that dealership?
It might have been a different dealership.
Okay. Well, it.
But
it,
they had my phone number. It had to be.
It has
dealership.
Your phone number, so it sends a thing saying, "Ding, Jane Man."
Jane was looking at Fiats.
Give her a call. That doesn't sound weird at all.
Has this and happened to anybody else? It has to have happened to other people.
I can't, Calvin. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a time when that specific example. I do know that I am not a fan of when I go look, because I go on the Amazons and there's a guitar repair website called Stumac that I go on, and I'll be reading up on a piece of equipment or, you know, a product, and then you'll get an email like a day or two later saying, hey, we noticed you checking this thing out. Want to take another look? I'm like, stop following me, Amazon.
Right?
That's weird. If I want it, I'll come back to it, but like just... And I know the point is, I know they're going to eventually poke me into buying it, but it is just odd when I don't like that.
Well, I don't like that either. And I'm sorry, Alex, but if I were actually looking for a new car, now I'm not going to buy it from you.
Yeah. And that's the thing too.
Because you creep me out.
Yeah. If it's one thing to get the email, but if you called me and said, they'd be like, don't ever call me again. That's just not, I don't like that at all.
I was just having some fun. Can I not just go and pretend I have more money than I do?
That's when you go and like go on like Lexus or Bugatti.
Well,
or...
I might just go to the like the Bentley website.
Exactly.
And see if I can get someone with a very snooty English accent to call me.
Hello, Jay, this is Smedley for Bentley. I notice you're looking at a car right now.
Put together my dream Bentley and see... Calvin, has this happened to you?
Well, not exactly, but sort of. When I was in college, I never followed through with it, but I had a passing interest in joining like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym.
Okay.
Oh.
So me and my roommate were talking about it one day, and then the next night, it was in my Facebook feed as a suggested ad.
Oh.
And the more innocent explanation is I probably did Google it at some point, so that's where they got the information, but it really felt like my phone was listening to me.
That happens. When I was looking up smartwatches, I have a Garmin smartwatch. I did a lot of research. I looked and went back and forth for probably 6 months on which one I want to get, like size, memory, activities, blah, blah, blah. And I think the one time I looked it up after that, for the next 2 months, every ad on Instagram, every ad on Facebook, every ad on Twitter were smartwatches.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I've mentioned things. I've told this story before. We were on air one time, and we were mentioning Earl's show, and we were talking about how much we loved an interview or something. I got to my other job and I pulled up my phone and I got on Audible to look at selections. And the first book it suggested was the book Earl, the DMX autobiography.
Wow.
Yeah. That happens all the time. The call after doing like your situation, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say doing that, but I mention it. Sometimes I think it and boom, there
it pops
it is.
Up.
Yes. I don't like it.
No, I would like there to be a change in these algorithms somehow. With
never happened, Jane.
Especially with, like you said, about the guitar that you were looking at.
Yeah.
And I've told this story before, maybe not on this show, but we lost my brother last year.
Yes.
And when we were making plans when he was still with us, and he was very specific, and we're a funeral family, so this may not be your sense of humor, but he was very specific in that he wanted the cheapest urn possible. He did not want us to splash out a lot of money for an urn. He wanted to be cremated. It's like, fine, I'll shop. I'll comparison shop. So I did after he was gone. And I'm online and I find the website. And there's more websites for urns than you can possibly imagine. So I found a nice, reasonably priced. And you can get urns that are like $2,500.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's insane, the vast selection that's available. But I ordered the urn. I am still getting ads for Urn World. Okay, it's not called Urn World, but it might as well be Urn World.
Well, you got a lot
I'm
of brothers.
Still getting ads you got for a lot urns. Of siblings.
So you said your brother was very, very adamant about a cheap urn.
Yes.
He's very serious.
Yes.
He wanted that. Would you say he said it in earnest?
Oh, ow. All I could think of was, how many of these do you think I need? I mean, I do have other siblings. Should I just buy a whole bunch of urns in bulk?
Yeah, maybe you get a discount.
Should he be switched out every day? Like a Monday urn, like underwear? Monday urn, Tuesday urn, Wednesday urn, Thursday urn.
Let's look at the situation here. I mean, you got the car situation where they go, how would you feel if Urn World was like, hey, I saw you looking. This is Vito. I see you looking at Urn World. Who do you want whacked? We got big ones. We got little ones.
We got specials.
Is he a tubby fella?
I wish that would go. They could go away now for a while, Urn World.
Well, I think you can go and, I mean, just start talking to your phone, being like, free money, free money.
Free Bentleys. Free Jaguars.
Yeah.
I'll try throwing that out there, exactly. See if that does anything. Has anything creeped you out? You're just checking something out on the web. You're considering buying it. Wouldn't this be fun just for a lark? I'm going to build a car and I'm going to make my dream car, even though I don't have the money for the dream car. And then 20 minutes later, someone from the dealership calls you because that's what happened to me last night. Creep me out.
Liz from Saukville listening on WAUK said, my husband visited a window replacement website, just browsed. Within the hour, three different window places called him on his cell phone. Then there are the 2 to 3 hour sales pitches.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, that is overstepping. Like, that's overstepping a line.
Big time.
And granted, I mean, I don't answer my phone unless you're in my contacts.
Right.
I have a screen. Google Pixel is a great thing where you can screen calls. If you really want to talk to me, you leave a short message. I listen to it and I choose.
Call you back. Yeah.
Exactly. But that, oh my gosh, I don't even know what you, like, if that had been me with the car and they said, hey, I saw you were looking at me, like, please don't ever call me again. This is not the way to get me to buy. This is.
You just convinced me not to buy it from you.
You are furthering the stereotype and narrative of the pushy salesman.
Yes.
And I don't like it, so.
Andrew from Maine also texting in, I've been Googling and talking solely about lottery numbers for 3 years.
Me too.
Good luck. Keep it up, Andrew. One of these days it'll hit, I'm sure.
Share the wealth with us.
Absolutely. All right, when we return, we lost James Earl Jones yesterday.
Yeah.
At the age of 93, long, wonderful life. And we're going to remember James Earl Jones when we return. Don't forget, debate tonight, Vice President Kamala Harris, former President Donald Trump, taking to the debate stage. That starts at 8 p.m., supposed to go 90 minutes, I saw.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to watch clips tomorrow.
90 minutes, I know. It's gonna get a little late. Our coverage here on Civic Media will start at 7:30 all across the Civic Media Radio Network, also on the Civic Media app. 7:30 start with News Director Terry Bell and our friend and colleague Todd Alba will be doing all the coverage. So if you don't want to watch it on the tube, you can listen on the radio and you can listen on the app. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look, Simba, everything the light touches is our kingdom.
Wow.
A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here and will rise with you as the new king.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches. What about that shadowy place?
That's beyond our borders. You must never go there, Simba.
But I thought a king can do whatever he wants.
Oh, there's more to being king than getting your way all the time.
There's more?
Simba. Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. As king, you need to understand that balance and respect all the creatures, from the crawling ant to the leaping antelope.
Dad, don't we eat the antelope?
Yes, Simba, but let me explain. When we die, our bodies become the grass, and the antelope eat the grass. And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
The iconic voice of James Earl Jones, that's from The Lion King. James Earl Jones gone yesterday at the age of 93. If you have a particular movie or memory of James Earl Jones that you would like to share with us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. James Earl Jones, born in Arkabutla, Mississippi, in 1931. I did not know this. He had a stutter since childhood, and he said that poetry and acting helped him overcome his stutter.
I remember hearing that when I was younger, and I love that because he, you know, you listen to that voice, and it would have been so easy for someone to snuff out that light by saying, well, you can't talk like that.
Picking on him to the point where he just gave up.
But he didn't. And he was, he was a powerhouse.
Oh, yes.
Just his size, his voice. I mean, it didn't matter what he played. It didn't matter what he said. You took it with a real sense of like, oh, that was James Earl Jones.
There's some weight behind it.
I mean, Calvin, you play the first clip. I mean, it's just very simple, very easy. You're like, okay.
Three words.
This is CNN.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. What happened was
that, and you knew who it was.
Exactly.
You knew instantaneously who it was. James Earl Jones was a pre-med major in college. He was in the U.S. Army during the Korean War. before going into acting, all kinds of roles on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
which I did not realize. I mean, tons of roles on Broadway for decades.
Yes.
And then the movies came along. He was in Dr. Strangelove.
That was his first film.
Yes.
It is an amazing little role.
Darth Vader, of course, which yeah. really put him on the map for, I think, for the general public.
Yeah, that's who everyone's talking about right now.
Conan the Barbarian, Coming to America, Field of Dreams.
The
really important character in the Field of Dreams.
The Sandlot. And an important, and I'd say important character in The Sandlot too, because it's the notion of judging someone before you ever get to know them. And this idea of the
preconceived
notion. And I mean, we talk about Star Wars, Calvin, we have to play this clip. We are legally obligated to play this clip.
No, I am your father.
Goosebumps. I mean,
Matt from Middleton texting in, Jones was fantastic in Conan. That gaze of his, magnetic.
Yes, he had a look. He had this seriousness. But on top of that, though, you know, he had so many wonderful credits. But the thing that I really enjoyed about him, I think the most, excuse me, I'm not crying, by the way. I'm just, I have something in my throat and you can think I'm lying. But is he's one of those stars who I respect so much for the fact that he has this stature, this almost brand about him that he doesn't take seriously.
Yeah.
He could. He could be like James Earl Jones. Don't look at me in my eyes.
Do you know who I am?
Do you have any idea? I'm Darth Vader. Don't right. look in my eyes. You know, it's, and instead he just had this sense of play and fun and wonder. And people loved him. I saw someone post, he said like, my husband's first movie was a James Earl Jones film. He treated everyone the same with respect, caring, love, and kindness.
On the set.
And that's not something you get every single time, especially from someone of his acclaim.
And gravitas.
Yes.
And he was on some television comedies you would not necessarily have expected him to do.
He was on Will and Grace.
Yes.
He played James Earl Jones, who lost all confidence in his acting. So he took acting lessons from Jack McFarlane.
The clip is priceless.
But then he was also on The Big Bang Theory, where he's at a restaurant and Sheldon shows up, and we have the clip right here. And this just shows the fact he's on the show, I think, reflects exactly how he feels about the line he just said. Calvin, can you play it?
Let me guess. You like Star Wars. You know, I've been in other movies. But you don't care about those, do you? I have one thing to say to people like you. I like Star Wars, too.
James Earl Jones, gone yesterday at the age of 93. We have time for one more clip. This is from the David Letterman Show, and he used to do the top 10 list,
yes.
top 10 countdown. And they did the top 10 things that sound even cooler when James Earl Jones says them. We have the last two. Play those, please, Calvin.
The number two cool thing when spoken by James Earl Jones.
Meow, 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 meow.
And the number one thing that sounds cool when spoken by James Earl Jones.
Huzzah!
James Earl Jones on the David Letterman Show, gone yesterday at the age of 93. Thank you for all the wonderful memories. Thank you for your dulcet tones.
Going to watch Empire Strikes Back this weekend.
Absolutely. All right. Stay with us. We have news coming up very, very shortly. That is followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. along with Fancy Brian Kelly and the Dom Salvia Show. Across the Civic Media Radio Network on our news talk stations from 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We'll see you tomorrow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.